Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Vav. We begin the fourth perek, Shor Shenogach, and we are learning, continuing to learn every day for the safety of the Chayalim, the Kochos HaBitachon, all of the forces in Eretz Yisrael that are fighting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, being literally Moser Nefesh for our benefit, to bring back the hostages safely, B'mheira B'yameinu, everyone should return safely, all those who need a refuah shleima should have one. Nebuch, all of those families that have suffered so much with korbanos giving up, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu be menachim them. Okay, we begin brand new parak, fourth parak, in the middle of the daf, lamed vav amud aleph, with the words shor shenogach. You have an ox that gores another ox, arba v'chamisha shvarim ze achar ze. You have ox number one, which goes and gores multiple oxen. One, two, three, four, many times. Arba v'chamisha pamim is an expression for a lot of times. Lav dafka four or five, but we're going to use examples of four times being menageach, and even we'll have an allusion to a fifth time that an ox gores in order that we can understand fully the Gemara. Now, this is dealing with a short tam, and Rashi right away, in the first Rashi in the parak, addresses ubehulan hayatam. This shore that did the damage, shore number one, the damage number two, then the damage number three, number four, number five, so it each time is still a short tam. Now, how could that possibly be? After all, once it gores three times, it becomes a shor mu'at. So Rashi addresses this, and he says, ubehulan hayatam, the mishtali migufo, and the major nafkamina, that is, you pay chatzi nezek mi guf from the animal itself. So if the animal is only worth a certain amount of money, that's all you pay. Even if the chatzi nezek is worth more than that, you don't pay out of your pocket. You just pay from the shor tam itself. Now, how could you have, Rashi says, v'hechi domi, that you could have a shor that's still a tam after it was minageach three, four, or five times? So kigon ra shor v'noga. So let's say our shor over here that is the goring shor saw another shor. So number one sees number two and gores it. Then the raw shore, the low nogach, and then it sees another shore and it doesn't go and be menageach that shore. Or then the raw shore, the nogach, the achar negicha shnia, raw base, pamim ogimu shore, the low nogach. So here we have that it gored once, it gored twice, but then it saw several other times shvarim and it did not gore. So you basically remember from the very beginning we said that you can lose the status of being a shor mu'at by not goring at the future opportunities or when there's no pattern. So Rashi points out that you don't even have a pattern over here that this shore is following. It gores twice, doesn't gore. Gores twice, doesn't gore. So then you'd be setting up a pattern. Here it just randomly gored and then at other times did not gore. So it never reaches the status of being a shore mu'ud. So that's the critical point that Rashi explains to us. So again, you have this ox that gored several other oxen, one after the other. So the shor tam only is worth a certain amount of money. Let's say it's worth $500. So it does multiple times damage. So which one does it pay? So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah tells us, Yishalem li achron shebehem. Somewhat surprisingly, and then we'll explain why this is so, the last one that is gored will get the full damages from the shor tam that it's entitled to. In other words, the chatzi nezek that you're entitled to. Let's say the last one was damaged for $1,000. So it's entitled to get $500 in payment from a shor tam. And if the shor tam is only worth $500, so then all the previous number two, number three, and number four, so they will get nothing. And only Yishalim le'achron shebehem. The last one will get the full value of this shor tam, which is $500, to pay for the chatzi nezek of the 1,000, and then only number five, let's say, will get repaid, will have the damages paid for. Numbers four, three, and two, who also damaged, will get nothing. Just Yishalim la'achron shebehem, and the world will have to explain this. And Rashi points out, this is the chatzi nezek tchilo li'achron. The only last one gets it, u'gemara mefarish, why that is so. Now, the imyesh bo moser, which we'll understand right now, is, let's say, the shor tam is worth $500, and it only did $400 worth of damage to the last ox. So, therefore, it only has to pay chatzi nezek, and therefore, you only have to pay $200. So, this shor tam is worth $500. You have to go and pay off the $200 worth of damage. There's $300 worth of the shor tam left. So, then, yachzu shalafonim. Then, that was the payment for shor number five. Now, you go and pay the next last one, which is shor number four, yachzu shalafonim, to the one right in front of it. And if let's say that one was $300 worth of damage. So you only have to pay half of that. So it'll be $150. So from the remaining money in the short time, you'll pay 150. And then if there's still more left over, the short time still has some value left that hasn't been paid out to number 5 and number 4, the Yeshua Moser, Yashulu for the Inafana. Then you go to number 3, etc. And you keep on doing this for Achron, Achron Niskar, Divrebeir. The last one to be damaged is the first one that will get the Nezik paid for. And then the second to last one to be damaged, if there's still money left in the short time to pay for it, will get paid. Then the next to last one. So you pay first for number 5, then if there's money left, you pay for number 4, if there's money left, you pay for number 3, and then if there's money left, then you only pay for number 2. That is the opinion Divri Rameh, the Tanakhana of a Mishnah. Now, we'll have to understand who this goes like. Remember, we had the machlokas in the previous paragraph between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as to how we understand the short time. Is it like Rabbi Shmuel that says that you wait till Havada Sadid, and at that point in time, you take from the short time? Or is it like Rabbi Akiva that says, no, that they're considered partners already for the moment of the damage, and therefore the short time is simultaneously owned over here by its owner, who we'll call the owner the Mazik, and the Nizak, the one who was damaged, is now a partner in that. That was Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and we'll see how these opinions of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva fit in with our Mishnah when we get to the Gemara. This was the Tanakhama Rabbi Meir, Divri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is the way you evaluate it. He said you have the shor number 1, then a gourd number 2, then a gourd number 3, then a gourd number 4, then a gourd number 5. So shor shavim masayim. Let's say the first shor, the short time was worth 200. Shenagach l'shor shavim masayim, and a gourd and ox that were worth 200. They had a failure of a club. This is the scenario that it totally destroyed shor number 2, that it's worth nothing, that a veil is not worth anything. It got destroyed, it got ruined, and therefore the short time number 1 did $200 worth of damage to shore number 2, and there is no nevela. So zen no tel mana, v'zen no tel mana. So they basically split this damage of 200. So the mazik pays half of it, and the nizak suffers half of it. So the original ox, the short time ox number 1, will half go to the mazik, the original owner, and half of it will go to the nizak. Now, Chazar v'gonach shor acher. So now it gores ox number 3, which is also shavim asayim, which is also worth 200, and the nevela is worth nothing. So keep it nice and simple. So now this shor number 1, which belongs half to the mazik and half to the nizak, so now it gores ox number 3 for $200. So achol no tamana. So the last one, he gets his half damages. So he'll get from the $200 worth of damage, he'll get 100. And he collects it evenly from each of the two partners. So he will go collect it. Achron no tel mana. He gets ox number 3, the owner, gets half his damages, which is 100 of the 200. He gets the chatzi nezek. The shalofanov, ox number 2, zeno tel chamishim, so the owner who originally gotten 100 of 50% of ox number 1, so he'll have to give up half of that. So instead of his 100 share, he'll now have 50 zuz share. And the original owner who had 100 but now has to give up 50, so he'll also be left with 50. So you now have, in the scheme of things, ox number 1 is owned by oxes number 1 and 2 for $50 each, and the owner of ox number 3 owns $100 of ox number 1, the goring share. So they're partners, but they're not equal partners. So it's 50, which is a quarter of the value, is owned by both number 1 and number 2, and 50%, which is 100, is owned by ox number 3. Then it gores again. Chazar v'nagach shor acher shavim asayim. It now gores ox number 4, which is worth also $200, and there's no nevela. Keep it nice and simple. So now, consistent with our principle, the last one gets all the money. So achron no tamana. The last ox number 4, which is worth 200, is now destroyed. So chatzi nezek is 100. So the owner of ox number 4 gets 100, and he takes it prorated from the prior three owners. So to say, the 50 from owner number 1, the 50 from owner number 2, and the 100 from owner number 3. So each of them has to give up prorated their share. So it has to be 100 in total. So shelofanu chamishim zuz. So the owner of ox number 3 owned half of the total ox number 1. He owned 100 of ox number 1. So he has to give up half. So he'll give 50 to owner of ox number 4. Ushnaim Arishonim, who owned a 25% share, each had 50 of the remaining 100 of ox number one. So each of them had 50 of 200, which is a quarter share. So they'll have to pray prorate. So they each had 50. So they each have to give half, which is 25. So Ushnaim Rishonim Dinar Zav. Dinar Zav is a golden dinar, which is equal to 25 silver dinarim or silver zuzim. So bottom line is now, each of them will be left with 25. They each give 25 to the owner of ox number four. So ox number one, the original Mazik owner, see, all he has left is 25 zuz. Ox number two is also left with 25 zuz. Ox number three has 50 zuz, so we're up to 100, 25, 25, and 50. And ox number four has a full 100 for its chatzi nezek, so we're up to the 200 value of ox number one. Now, you keep on doing this. If you gored a fifth and sixth and seventh, you would keep on doing this. Each of them would be a percentage, prorated share of the damage. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We begin the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Masnis and Mani, the Loki Rabbi Yishmael, Loki Rabbi Akiva. Who is our Mishnah going in accord with? It doesn't seem to be in accord. The Reisha of our Mishnah does not seem to be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, nor the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, Rav Meir, the Reisha of our Mishnah, doesn't seem to fit either of these two Tanoic Shitas that we have. Why? Because Ik Rabbi Yishmael, if you tell me it's like Rabbi Yishmael that you go by Hamada Sadin, that you look at the goring ox is still belonging 100% to the Mazik, and only when you take him to Beis Din, and Beis Din adjudicates and says, yes, you are responsible, at that point in time, it's a chov that kicks in, and that chov is taken from the guf of the Shor Tam, but it's considered like a chov. So if you're going to tell us that the Tanakama, Rabbi Meir, holds like Rabbi Yishmael, the Omer Bali Chovus Nindu, that essentially the Mazik is a Baal Chov now to the Nizak at the time of Hamadas Hadin. Hi, Achron, Achron Niskar? Rishon, Rishon, Niskar, Mboile. So wait a second. Why would the last one be given the full share of his Chatzi Nezek? It should be the other way around. It should be the first one. That was the first debt, normally in terms of debts. So if Reuven owes money to Shimon, and then subsequently, a day later, he owes money to Levi, and then later, at some point in the future, on a different day, he borrows money from Yehuda. So then, the first debt was to Shimon. That would be the first debt that he would have to pay back. So let's say he dies in his estate, they would first have a priority to pay back the debt to Shimon. Only then, if there's money, would they pay back to Levi, and only then, if there's money, would they pay back to Yehuda. So to over here, ox number one, gored ox number two first. So ox number two, if you're going like Rabbi Shmuel, that these are debts, so then ox number two should be paid back first. And only then, if there's money, should ox number three be paid. And only then, if there's money, should ox number four be paid. But Rabbi Meir, the Tanakam of Amisha, said the exact opposite. First, you pay back ox number four. Ox number five, the last one to be gored, you go pay that one back. And if there's money left over, you paid the Chatzi Nezek, and then there's still money within the short time, so then you go pay back the second to last one. If there's still money left after that, you pay back the third to the last one. Pumfakert, the exact opposite of what the din would be if it was like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel would say, you pay the first one. That's the first debt. So ox number two should get paid first, ox number three, then ox number four, according to Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Meir says the exact opposite. First you pay ox number four, then if there's money left, you pay ox number three that was damaged, and then there's ox number two that was damaged. So therefore, it can't be Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so there must be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Akiva? No, that can't be. Ik Rabbi Akiva. If you're telling me that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Tura Deshutvihu, Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that as soon as the damage is done, essentially your partners in it, the Mazik and the Nizak, are now 50% owners of the shore of the Mazik. So then, hi, Yesh Bo Moser. So then, in the scenario that we described, we said, if there's extra money, according to Rabbi Meir, he said, if there's extra money, after you pay the damages for the fourth or the fifth ox, the last one that was damaged, if there's still money left in the short time that wasn't paid to pay the Chatzi Nezek damages of, let's say, ox number five that was gored, and we turn to Lamed Vav, all the bays, so then, Yachzir L'Shalafonov. So our Mishnah said, Rabbi Meir holds, that you go then to the second to last ox. But if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, L'Kula Mibayale. So then, they all are partners in this. So then, the extra money should return to all of them. So why would you go and give it to the last one and then to the one before that? They should all split everything evenly. They're all partners, so they should split the damages evenly. So the Gemara says, doesn't look like the Tanakam Rabbi Meir holds like either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. So Rav explains as follows. No, Amar Rava, in fact, Le'olam ki Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Bali Chovos Dinu, that these are all Bali Chovos, and Yes, the question, instead of saying then the last one should collect first, it should be that the first one should collect first. So instead of saying ox number five goes, collects first, and then if there's money left over, ox number four, and then if there's money left over, ox number three, should be the other way around. If there's money to pay only one of them, then ox number two, the first one to be gored, gets paid first, and then, because that was the first chov, and then if there's money left over, you should go to the second ox gored. Would be the exact reverse order. That was the kash that we had on Rav Meir. So Rav says, no, you know what we're dealing with over here? Why? He holds like Rabbi Shmuel, but he says that ox number five should get paid first, and then ox number four, and then ox number three, and not the other way around, because Hochamai Askinan, Yon Shetufaso, Nizak, Ligabos Hemenu. You know what happened over here? Ox number two, the owner said, hey, you just gored my ox. I'm taking your Shor Tam, because that's where I'm going to get my money eventually from, and I'm taking the law into my own hands, basically, and I'm watching it until the Beis Din comes and settles this case. I'm not taking any chances that you're going to have it run away, you're going to do something to it that's going to make me not be able to go collect, because I can only collect Chatzi Nezik Migufa. It's not a debt that I can collect from your aliyah, from your money. I can only collect it from this Shor Tam. That's the din of a Shor Tam. You collect Chatzi Nezik Migufa. So therefore, the owner of ox number two, the first one that was gored, grabbed the ox, the mazik ox, ox number one. And therefore, kigon shetofasu nizak ligavu seimenu, and the nasa alav kishomer sachar lenizakin. When he grabs it, he becomes like a shomer sachar, a paid watchman, to now be responsible for any damage that it did. So the regular damages that it does, he's responsible for. So ox number one, the owner, is no longer responsible. It's the owner of ox number two that is now responsible for the damage that ox number one occurred, and that's why he doesn't get paid. He is the one responsible, so the money all comes from him. So he gets nothing, and the 100 damages that would go to ox number three would have to be paid solely by him. So he would give up his 100 share to pay for the chatzi nezek damages, and owner of ox number one would be left with the other 100 share. So in this scenario, ox number one and ox number three, the owners would each have 100 of ox number one, and ox number two would have zilch, because he basically gave it all up by not being responsible to watch the ox after he grabbed it. And this would keep on going on. The same thing now, ox number three grabbed it, and he's now responsible. So if it goes in damages, it's going to be coming fully out of his pocket. So he gets nothing, ox number two got nothing, and now ox number four gets the half that ox number three's owner has. So now ox number four, the owner, has 100. Ox number three's owner has zilch. Ox number two's owner has zilch. And ox number one would have the other half share, the other 100. So that's why it goes like Rabbi Yishmael, but the last one actually gets it, and then not the first one that was damaged, because Tofas. So therefore, he became responsible, Kishomer Sachar, and therefore, he's held totally responsible. The previous owners are no longer held responsible, so they don't have to pay anything. Now, if this is true, so then we don't understand the last part of the Reisha, where Rabbi Meir says, Yesh bo mosar, we said if there's extra money, so let's say ox number five was the same exact thing, was responsibility of ox number four, and there's $200 worth of damage to ox number five, so he should get chatzi nezek. And we had said if there was more, let's say ox number one was not worth $200, it was worth $300, so therefore it would go and pay the $100 worth of chatzi nezek damages, and it would be $200 left over. So in that situation, we said yachzor to Lufanov, you then go to pay ox number four. That doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't go to ox number four because he was irresponsible. He wasn't watching it properly. It won't go to ox number three or two. It should go Yaxu La Bola Mi Boyle. It should go back all to ox number one because he was the original owner. The others didn't watch it properly and therefore they lost their rights to it. So why would it go to the second to last ox to be damaged? It should go back to the original owner. So that's Akasha on this understanding that the Rav Meir actually holds like Rabbi Shmuel. So Amar Ravina, Ravina explains, no, Hachi Tani, this is what the Mishnah is teaching us. It goes as follows, Im Yesh Bo Mosar Bin Yizakov. It's not talking about that there's money left in the Tam, in that Shor Tam, that you could go and pay additional from the goof of that Shor Tam. It means, Im Yesh Bo Mosar Bin Yizakov, it means, and you can see this in Rashi, with that Dibra Maskev, Im Yesh Bo Mosar Bin Yizakov, Kigon, Shohayo Nisko Shal Revi, the second to last ox gored, its damage, Nisko Shurvi, was Meruba, was greater, Mishel Chamishi, than the damage that was done to the fifth and final oxen or progression. So Kigon, Shor Shurvi, gives us real examples. Let's say that ox number four, so that ox was worth Shavu Mon, it's worth 100. So Yesh Lo Bimazik Chatzi Mana. So the original owner, as we had said, he owns half of that, so he has 50, Chatzi Mana. Mishel Chamishi, Shavu Nun. The fifth ox is only worth 50 altogether, and if it's totally destroyed, so the chatzi nesek is only 25. The ein lo al zeh elo dinar zav. He's only entitled to the dinar zav, which we said is 25 silver dinarim, which is what we're normally dealing with, the zuzim or the dinarim, a silver dinarim. So therefore, yachz dinar zav, there's another 25 of damages here, shalafanev, that will go back to number four, because he was responsible, but he only had to pay 25. So therefore, that extra money goes back to him, shalafanev, v'chein kulam. And the same thing would apply in nisko shorishon yosu al shalachron. And this, again, we go keep on going back towards the first damage ox from the last damage ox in the way that we just said. So that's how Ravina says, hochitani, im yesh b'moser bin izakov, yachzu shalafanev. So this now is a perfectly good way, with Rava and Ravina's explanation, to say that the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, holds in fact like Rabbi Yishmael. In fact, this is the correct way to understand it, because L'chein Kiyosu Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Pshias Shomim Noguba, that the way to understand the Tanakhama, Rabbi Meir, is with the understanding that they were tofas, and then they didn't watch it responsibly. So number two grabbed it from number one, but didn't watch it properly, and then it gored number three. Number three grabbed it then from two, and didn't watch it properly, and it damaged number four. And then number four said, he grabbed it, and I'll watch it, but he didn't watch it properly, and it damaged number five. So with that understanding in place, and with the explanations that we gave by Rava and Ravina, so Rav Yochanan said the same thing. And this is all pshia in regards to the last gored ox. So he didn't watch it properly, and therefore he's held fully responsible. And then the final last damaged ox will get all the full compensation he's entitled to, the chatzi nezek. Okay. Gemara says, so then, how have you understood this? You've understood the Reisha to be Rabbi Shmuel. But Mayu Kimta, Rabbi Shmuel. So the Reisha was saying is Rabbi Shmuel. But then, keep on reading. The second part of the Mishnah, which was Rabbi Shimon, Ihachi Ema Sefer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Sefer of the Mishnah said, a different approach of Rabbi Shimon. Shor Masayim, Shinogach, Shor Shavim Masayim. You have a $200 short time that went and gored ox number two, which is worth $200. It's worth nothing. Again, Rabbi Akiva says they're partners, so each of them is a 50% ownership. So in the damage of 200, of which $100 is to be paid from the goof of this shartan. So if owners number one and number two are considered 50% partners in this $200 shartan, and it has to pay 100 chatzi nezek to the owner of shart number two, so each of them has to pay basically from their own pocket. So owner number two gets 100, owner number one gets 100, that's exactly this division up. Now, if it goes and gores a third ox, so now there's ox number three, which is also worth $200, and there's nothing in the novella. So now each of them is a 50% partner in this short time, so each of them is going to be responsible for 50% of the $100, the chatzi nezek that the owner of shor number three is entitled to. So each of them had 100, so each of them now be left with 50. So owner number one has 50, owner number two has 50, and owner number three has 100. So, Achu no tomana, shalafanev, zenotel chamish mazuz, zenotel chamish mazuz. Very good. Now, it gored again. So, chazav enogach shor shavim asayim. It gored ox number four, which is worth 200. So, each of them is going to have to be prorated to pay this chatzi nezek. It's worth, the kark is worth nothing. So, the owner of ox number four is entitled to $200. The owner gets chatzi nezek, so he gets 100. And I'll take it prorated from the 50, 50, 100 that ox number owner one has 50, ox number two owner has 50, ox number three has 100, so he'll take prorated from each of them. So he'll take half of each of them. So he'll take half of the 50 that ox number one has, he'll be left with 25. We'll take half of the 50 that ox number two had, he'll be left with 25. So that's 50, and then he'll take half of ox number three, the 100, that's the other 50. So owner of ox number four gets his 100 he's entitled to, and owner of ox number three has 50 left, and the owners of ox number one and two have 25 left. So that's how you divide it up. Achu noto mona, shalafanim noto chamishim zuz, ushnei harishonim dinar zav. So 25, 25, 50, 100. So that's telling me that it goes like Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, Okay, then also Rabbi Akiva. If you're telling me that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Torah the Shut for you. So then you have Reish Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva. Does that make sense for us to say that the Reish is Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer is Rabbi Akiva? And we're saying, yeah, absolutely, Amri. That's exactly it. To Amar Le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, because we had early in the Masechta, we have a number of places in Shas this expression that Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin, are you sharp one? That's the normal way we understand it. Again, there's one Pshat that said he had long teeth, and he called him Shinin, are you sharp toothed one? But that's somewhat pejorative, as I always say. So therefore, it makes more sense. We always like to say the nice Pshat that he called him, you sharp one. Shmuel thought very highly of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda first learned by Rav, then when Rav passed away, he learned by Shmuel, and he would always tell over the members of Rav to Shmuel, and Shmuel saw how sharp Rabbi Yehuda was. He called him Shinin, are you sharp one? So he said, there's no way to reconcile certain Mishnais as being one Shita. And just like we had earlier in the Masechta, he said that there's no way to reconcile this Mishnah, but learn it like the Brisa, that it's two separate opinions. So to Ovir, he said, Shivok Mas Nisan, don't try to reconcile this Mishnah of Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon, all being within the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel or within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. In fact, leave it. You can't do it. Shvok my season. That's right. Leave this Mishnah and follow what I'm saying. Reish is Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer Rabbi Akiva. In fact, that's the only way you can possibly learn this, that this is a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon parallels the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, why don't we originally just say that? Very simple. Ka'ha tanoi, ka'ani tanoi. So, the Mepharshim explain we wouldn't want to ideally say that because then it seems to be unnecessary. What are you telling us? The previous machlokas that we had between Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Akiva. Why are you telling it to me again with their Talmidim, so to say, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Actually, both of them are Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So why would you tell it to us again? So in any event, we didn't want to say that Teretz, but ultimately Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora Rabbi Yehuda, there is no other way to learn the machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, other than learning it out as the same machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmol. Reisha is in fact Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yishmol, and Sefer Rabbi Shimon is like Rabbi Akiva. Now we have the next piece in brackets, and if you look in the Masoras Hashas, he says that Svir Acher Lo Garsina, and Rashi has over here similarly. He says Lo Garsina, but then he has something in parentheses, My Benayu. In any event, what we have now, whether it's supposed to be over here in our Gemara or not, is correct. So we'll learn it. So it Manami, it was said Amar Rav Yochanan. The Rav Yochanan holds that a nafkamina between Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Akiva, which would be the same nafkamina between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon, is Higdisho Nizak. What happens if the Nizak went and was makdish the animal? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't yet belong to the Nizak. It has to have a Hamadah Sadin, and then only after the Beis Din adjudicates it, and they take from Gufo Shel Shartan, would it belong to Rabbi Shmuel. So he can't be makdish it. Whereas according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that they're now partners in it, so he can be makdish his share. So Hikdisho Nizak Ika Benayos. So the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon would parallel that machlokas we have between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If the Nizak was makdish it, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shmuel would say it's not hektish, and both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva would say it would be hektish. At least his share would be hektish. Okay. Gemara says, Zanasam, we learned in a Mishnah on Daf Tzadi, later in the Masechta, HaTokea LeChaveru. Now, we have two definitions of what Tokea means. So Rashi explains, HaMakeyu Kineged Ozno, you give him a Zetz right near his ear, and that's what the person is tokeya means, or Lishna Achrina actually says, the first one was the opinion of his rabbi, Loshan Mori, the Lishna Achrina, tkiya mamish, he blew a shofar into his ear. So he didn't actually give him a zetz, but he blew a loud noise into his ear. In any event, this damage that Reuven did to Shimon, a tokeya lechadero, so no sin lo sela. So this is a knas, it's not an actual payment. Rashi says, demei boshto levad tsar, the nezik, viripui. So in addition to whatever damage is actually caused, he broke his eardrum and then there were doctor bills and he couldn't go to work. So those are separate payments. But here we're talking about the embarrassment of getting a zetz in his ear or having somebody blow a shofar in his ear and startling him. So the humiliation, the boshes that Shimon suffered, so that's a knas that Reuven has to pay. And therefore, how much is that knas worth? So the Tanakhama in this Mishnah says, no sin, no sela. He gives him a sela. Now, a sela is 4 zuzim. If it's, we'll see, a sela suri, so that is worth 4 zuzim, and it is a larger sela, a larger coin. Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rav Yosef Glili Mona. He says, no, it's 100 zuzim, a much larger amount that you pay. Now, we're not going to really spend too much time talking about Rav Yehuda Shita right now, in the name of Yosef Glili, but we're going to spend more time on this definition of sela. So Maisa Shahayu, how Gavra the talk lechabre? The once was a man who did this, either blowing a shofar in the guy's ear or giving him a zetz near his ear, and they took him to court. Shalchei Rav Tuvia Bar Masna lekamei Rav Yosef. Now this is in Bavel. Rav Yosef lived in Bavel, and they don't normally connect knas in Bavel. So he sent Rav Tuvia Bar Masna sent this case to be adjudicated in front of Rav Yosef, and Rav Tuvia Bar Masna asked Rav Yosef, when we said that you pay a sela according to the Tanakhama in this Mishnah on Daf Sadi, sela tsuri tanan, is it talking about a sela that came from the area known as tsur, Tyre, and that is a worth 4 zuzim? Or is it talking about what's called sela medina, not the tsur type of sela, which is the more expensive one, but the regular sela medina, the regular what we call sela medina type of a coin, which is worth much less? So that is worth 1/8 of the sela tsuri. It's worth a half of a zuz, right? The sela tsuri is worth 4 zuzim, and the sela medina is worth a half of a single zuz. So it's 1/8 the amount, the sela medina, of the sela tsur. So that's what Rav Tuvia Bar Masna asked Rav Yosef. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to him, Tinisua, we learned this in our Mishnah. And I'll show you the answer from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah went down to a certain level of numbers of gorings. Ushnaim arishonim dinar zav. It went only to the point to say that the first two owners had a dinar zav left. They were left with 25. Dinar zav, we said, was a golden dinar, which is worth 25 silver dinarim, silver zuzim. So it's only down to the level of whole numbers, 25. Now, visoka daitoch toni tana sela medina. If you're telling me that we are talking here in damages, that it's a sela medina, so that is a smaller value, so then you have a half zuz coin. A sela medina is essentially a half zuz coin. So the Mishnah could have gone one step further. Niflo gvinisne ad tresar the sela. It could have gone down to say, then it gored again, so the people that had a 25 zuz share could go down to 12.5, because that would be 12 zuz and a sela medina. So if it really was a sela medina that we're talking about, we could have gone one case further. And the fact that it didn't go one case further means that the sela that we're talking about is a sela tsuri, and therefore we didn't want to deal with 12.5 zuz. And it isn't a sela medina that we're referring to in the knas over here, but it's a sela tsuri, which is 4 zuz. So that's what Rav Yosef told Rav Tuvia Bar Masna, but Rav Tuvia Bar Masna didn't accept this. So Amalei said, Tana kiruchla lisnei beleza. What? If there were smaller coins, then we have to list show number 6 and show number 7 and show number 8. The Tana is a peddler over here. He has to list every single one of his wares that he has, like a peddler does. No, it could still be a sela medina that we're talking about. It just didn't go down to the case of that there's 25 going to 12.5. Even though it had a coin, it could have said 12 zuz and a sela medina, so it was dealing with whole coins. It didn't list it, so that's not a proof. So we don't have an answer. As an aside, the Mefarshim asks, why are we dealing with knas in Bavel? If this is a knas for humiliation, so then it shouldn't apply in Bavel. So a simple teretz that the Mefarshim give is that the person who had the shofar blown in his ear grabbed something. Now he grabs it, so then you have to adjudicate, does he have to return it or not? So now it's no longer just a question of knas. Now it's a question of a regular mamonos din, so they were adjudicating that even in Bavel as well. Nudigmar says, my Havilah, what is the bottom line? Is this sela that we're talking about in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi a sela of tsuri, 4 zuzim, or is it a sela medina? It's a half a zuz. So, Pashtua meha demar Yehuda Amarav. So, we want to give the answer from a statement that Yehuda Amarav said. What did he say? Kol kesef avim b'torah, kesef tsuri. Whenever we have a kesef that you have to pay, kesef shkolim, so it tells us you have to pay a certain amount of shkolim, a shloshim, 50, 100, for the different types of damages. So it tells us that you have to pay shkolim. If it uses in the Torah, it refers to kesef tsuri. That's using the currency from tsur, which was the higher value currency. But when it's a din derabanan, shel divrayim, whenever the rabbis said something specifically, shel divrayim is dealing with kesef medina, the much lower value, the 1/8 value sela or kesef, rather than the sela tsuri, the higher value, the 4 zuz, rather, it's not dealing with that, it's dealing with a half zuz sela. Maisa Shoya, Amalei Hal Gavra, the ones who's a person, it's a funny story. A certain person had somebody either hit him in the ear or blow a shofar in his ear, and he was entitled to get this sela. So, Amalei Hal Gavra, Hol Upal Gedezuzu, is only a half of a zuz, so he went according to the opinion that this is a din derabanan, and therefore, like Rav Yehuda Amarav said, you're only going to pay a sela of the Medina, which is a half of the Zuz. So he says, such a small amount of money. This person said, this is the embarrassment I'm getting, such a small amount of money. Oh, Pag the Zuzu, it's only a half of the Zuz, it's only to sell a Medina. Lo Bina, I don't want it. I'm going to forgo it. Now, Nesve Lanim, he said, go give it to the poor people. So he said, give it to Tzedakah. Now, he then retracted, he changed his mind. Hadar Amalei, he then went and told Rav Yosef, when this Maisa came, this story came to Rav Yosef, so this Maisa, we turned out that it was a half of a Zuz that he was entitled to. So the guy originally said, nah, I give it to the poor, but then he changed his mind, said, give it to me. He said, Nesve Nieli, give it to me. Ezel V'Avare Bein Nafshai, I'll go and I'll heal myself. Now, the Nemuki Yosef points out, this isn't the repoy, this is talking about the Knas of Boshes. And he said, no, I'll have a good time. You know, for my humiliation, I'll spend the day in the spa. And Avare Bein Nafshai, I'll heal myself, but it doesn't mean the payment of repoy. It means that I'll just have a good day and make up for my embarrassment. So he says, I want my money after all. So I'm like, Rav Yosef told him, sorry, too late. You told me to give it to the Aniyim. I'm the Gabbai Tzedakah. So instantly it belongs to the Aniyim. Even though right now there's no Aniyim in front of me. But since I'm responsible for the Aniyim, I'm the Gabbai Tzedakah. Anan Yad Aniyim Anan. I'm basically the hand of the Aniyim. So when you gave it to me, it was essentially as if it was Kona by the Aniyim. Now, how exactly this worth? So Rashi says in the last Rashi on the Daf, Rav Yosef have a Gabbai Bishulei Achovel. The Gemara at the end of Achovel tells us that he was the Gabbai Tzedakah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that you should pick up a Gabbai Tzedakah, somebody who is as honest and as ethical as Rav Chanina ben Trajon. So you should pick a very, very great person, a very above-questioned type of a person. So Rav Yosef was such a person. Tosus brings down Yad Aniyim Anan. How did they actually go acquire it? So Im Tomar, below Yad Aniyim, Nami Mechayiv Tzedakah B'Amira. He says, wait a second, why do you have to come onto this terrace that Rav Yosef was the Gabbai Tzedakah? When a person makes a pledge, so that pledge is considered as if it's fulfilled already, and you have to go and fulfill it. The Picha Zut Tzedakah, as we dash it from the Pasuk. So Tosus answers, Yishlamar, the Kmosh ain't Adam Makdish Dover Shaloboliolov, Hachanami ain't Adam no Saint Tzedakah, Dover Shaloboliolov. This isn't something that, so to say, is considered in the world yet, and you can't go give it to Tzedakah. Tosus says how you could possibly do it to make it so. Bottom line is that it is acquired by the Aniyim, and therefore Rav Yosef said that the Aniyim own this already, and I can't give it back to you. Because the Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and we turn to Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that Einan Srichim Prusbul, that normally, at the end of the Shemitah cycle, so any debts that are outstanding, so the way we pass this at the end of the Shemitah cycle, there's an opinion that says at the beginning of the Shemitah cycle, but at the end of the Shemitah cycle, it says that all the outstanding loans are Tishmetena. They're all nullified. Now, in order that people should still want to give loans to the poor people towards the end of the Shemitah cycle, otherwise they say, listen, in 3 months, this loan's null and void, you're not going to pay me back, I'm going to lose my money, so I'm not going to give you money, I'm not going to lend you money. So, for the benefit of both the rich people, and for the benefit of poor people, that now that they'll have access to money, so pruzi buli is meaning it's good for the rich and good for the poor. So there's this pruzi that's written. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the Yisomim ain't on Srichim pruzi. These very, very poor people, the Yisomim, that they're basically not going to require a pruzi to be written in order to go collect the debts because the Beis Din basically does it on their behalf. They're looking out for them, and they don't have to go write a prosbul. And v'chein tani Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Hayisomim ain't on srichim prosbul because Rabban Gamliel ubeis dino avin show yisomim you. The Beis Din basically looks out for them, and therefore there is no need for them to go and write a prosbul. It's as if it's there already. Okay. Bottom line is that this guy who was damaged a half of a zuz, this Sela Medina, basically gave up his rights to it. Okay, one last story. Here's the funny story that I mentioned. Chonam Bisha Toka Lahau Gabra. Chonam Bisha means the bad person. Chonam Bisha was not a very nice guy. We use the term Lashon Hara, we say Lishna Bisha. He was a bad guy. He was a wicked person, this Chonam Bisha. And he hit somebody in the ear. So, also the comment of Rav Huna. So, this case came before Rav Huna to adjudicate it. Now, again, here in the Gilyon HaShas, so he points out, looking at the Tosos in Avodah Zarah, who says that you can't learn from our Gemara here that we did Knossos in Bavo for humiliation, for Boshes, because, again, it was a case where he was Tofas. Okay, that's what Tosos in the Gilyon HaShas brings down from Kiva Eger. Okay, now, Amalei, Rav Huna said to this Chonam Bisha, Zil Havle Palga de Zuzah. No, you're causing this Boshes, and you have to go pay him half a Zuz, this Chatzi Zuz, the Sela Medina, for the embarrassment that you caused. Now, this Chonam Bisha, Havle Zuzah Maka. He only had a Zuz that was, Rashi says, Pechusa Tsuraso. Their coins were not automatically, a quarter today is worth a quarter no matter what condition it's in. Their coins were worth the silver that was inside the coin, the copper that was inside the coin. So if the coin got rubbed out, it was actually less than standard value of that coin. So he had this rubbed out Zuz that he was having trouble getting other people to accept as a full Zuz. So boy lemeisvele minei palga de Zuzah. So he wanted to go and exchange this for a two half zuzim, and this way he would give one to the person that he had damaged, the toka, the guy that he blew a shofar into his ear, or that he gave his zets to his ear, and he would keep the other half for himself. However, lo havi mishtakule, nobody wanted to accept it. As Rashi says, lo yochol tzio, nobody was willing to accept this damaged zuz and give him two half zuzim for it. So what did this cholim bisha do, this wicked guy? So talk leachrida. He said, here's another zetz. I owe you now two half zuzin. Here's the full zuz that will pay you for the second half zuz that I now owe you. And I'll give it to you. So he gave him a second zetz, and now says, now I owe you another half zuz. Here's a full zuz that will compensate you for the two times that I was talka in your ear. That's what cholim bisha, this wicked cholim, did. And because nobody was willing to go and take his worn out, his rubbed out Zuz coin and give him two half Zuzim for it. Okay, we end off on a little bit lighter story, and the Ezra Sam will pick up with a new Mishnah tomorrow. Have a great day.